For those of you who haven't been with us for the last few weeks, we've been taking the month of August and having our messages inspired by the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Vatican City. And in the first couple weeks, we noted that the way that Michelangelo designed the ceiling was that it would go in reverse order, a reverse chronological order of the events in the beginning of Genesis. And so the first paintings that you see above you as you enter into the chapel are paintings of the scenes of Noah. And it's kind of a symbol of entering in from the broken and sinful world into a holy place, into a holy encounter with God. And as you travel along the chapel, you get to the other end where the altar is, where the Mass is celebrated. And at the very end of that chapel, at the very end of the chapel, right above the altar, is the beginning scene of creation. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Now, Pope Julian II commissioned Michelangelo to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in 1508. And if you've ever seen The Agony and the Ecstasy, I never have, but apparently Charlton Heston portrays Michelangelo painting this chapel ceiling, and he portrays him doing so on his back. And so that's a lot, the image a lot of us have when we picture the painting of the chapel ceiling. But in fact, Michelangelo painted the whole chapel standing upright. In fact, he designed his own scaffolding so that he could effectively paint the chapel ceiling. And there was even a curved part on the top so that when he leaned back, he could do so in a relatively comfortable way. Even so, the whole process took 4 years, and it took a huge toll on Michelangelo's body. He actually wrote a poem about the pains, kind of a tongue-in-cheek poem about the pains of his work. Now, that may seem like a pretty relatively insignificant trivial fact that Michelangelo painted the ceiling standing up. But it's not so much when we look at this last image that he painted. After 4 years, he painted this image of God creating from the beginning and separating the light from the darkness. And if you look closely at this image, it's also in your worship folder if you can't see up there. The image of God he gives is of God standing, somewhat bent back, with his hands in the air. There are some people who think Michelangelo was essentially painting a kind of self-portrait of himself as he painted the Sistine Chapel. It would seem that Michelangelo saw himself as imitating God's creativity, which may sound kind of arrogant if it weren't such good theology. Because as we read the scriptures, what we find is that we are made as co-creators with God. God designed us to be participants in God's own creative work. And I would even suggest that it is creation that is the impulse of the whole creation. All of creation moves not just with a survival instinct, which it does, but also with a creative instinct. To take a page out of Jesus' playbook, consider the bees of the air. As they participate in pollinating flowers and get to be participants in the growth of new and beautiful and life-giving things. Consider the volcanoes. Not conscious, but they spew molten lava. And we were in Hawaii a couple months ago, and we saw how over millions of years this lava hardened as it hit the water, and the volcanoes participated in the creation of the Hawaiian Islands and many other islands that we have today. Consider the rivers, as over thousands and thousands and millions of years, they carve out valleys and canyons that we all delight in their beauty. And then in Genesis, at the end of Genesis 1, we see that at the pinnacle of all this, God created us. And he says, I will create them in our image. It's always good to have a Bible when you're preaching, incidentally. Let's look at Genesis 1 again. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. And so last week we talked about how being created in God's image isn't a matter of a physical likeness, so what's it about? Well, what have we seen God doing so far? We've seen God creating. So what does it mean to be created in God's image? Well, I would suggest that it's partly functional, that we are creators, just like God. Participants in God's creative work. Jesus' teaching emphasizes this to a new degree, where we don't just celebrate God's work, we actually participate in it. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we're familiar with Jesus' words. He says, "You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works." And oftentimes in the Old Testament, in the Psalms especially, God's works are described in very similar terms. So that they may see your good works and give glory to their Father who's in heaven. And then most specifically and clearly in John 14, 12, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, we'll do greater works than these because I am going to the Father." So again, we are participating in the ongoing creative work of God. And if you remember a couple years ago, Pastor Troy, I don't know if your congregation remembers all your sermons, but mine does. And so you'll remember on Easter a couple years ago, we looked at the Gospel of John and how John is very clear that Jesus is crucified on the sixth day. There is a day of rest on the seventh day, and then Jesus is raised on the first day of the week. John is communicating to us that we live in the age now of new creation, that this ongoing, this new work of God, begun and empowered by the resurrection, is what we then join when we enter into the resurrection life of Jesus. And so then the last piece, again, above the altar in the Sistine Chapel, is a picture of creation right over the symbols of new creation, the body and blood of Christ. There's one other detail to know about Michelangelo and the chapel ceiling, and that's that Michelangelo wasn't really a painter. He was a sculptor, first and foremost. If you've ever seen his work, you are very likely to have seen either David, which is phenomenal sculpture of King David, or the Pietà, another one of Michelangelo's works. He was a sculptor by trade. And sculptors have a different approach to art than painters. Painters are putting one thing onto something else, but a sculptor is separating, is chipping away, hoping to unveil the beautiful image within the stone. And so I think it's fitting, again, that he would end with God separating light from darkness. And I also think this gives us a picture of what it means to participate in God's creative work. Because that's what we are. Now, when I say that, I feel like maybe that's a little intimidating. Because I don't care what the scaffolding is. I don't care if I'm on my back or standing up. I don't care if you gave me 4 years or 40 years. I could not do what Michelangelo did. And sometimes we relegate this idea of creativity and creation into the realm of the fine arts. But I would suggest that God's creative impulse in us isn't just an artistic thing. We are endowed with creativity to be used in all areas of life. We are called in all areas of life to seek, to discover and release what is beautiful and true in this world, what is just and redemptive, what is good and holy. As we stand on the scaffolding of faith, as we envision a new world with hope, and as we use the instruments of love, this is how we co-create with God. And so then we are co-creators in many ways. We're co-creators of our souls, first of all. I mean, we know that is the Spirit of the living God that works on our souls, but we participate in that work as we confess and as we discern God's will for our lives, as we allow the life and death and resurrection of Jesus to shape us. We are co-creators of our souls. We are co-creators in relationships as parents, as friends, as neighbors. We are seeking in all of these relationships in love to unveil the beauty and the goodness of human beings created in God's image. We are indeed creators in music and art and quilting and woodwork and all of these things we do where we seek to create something that is beautiful and useful and good. We're co-creators in our homes as we clean and order and landscape to create space that is restful and is hospitable to relationships and love. We are co-creators as citizens as we seek to collaborate and to craft a society that works for all people and that is characterized by justice and compassion. We are co-creators as a church, creating a community where pride and despair and apathy and loneliness are chipped away so that the beauty of love and grace and hope and connection can be unveiled to the world. The impulse of God's creation has always been toward more creation. And as resurrection people, our impulse then is to new creation work. You are co-creators, made by God, led by Jesus, empowered by the breath of life. And so I encourage you this week, when you wake up, think of yourself like that. Think of your life like that. Think of your day and your purpose in that way, that you, in this day, are joining God in creating a world that is increasingly beautiful, just, and filled with love. For as Paul says, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared for each of you. Let's pray. Creator God, we ask that you would create in us a heart that is enthralled with this calling to be co-creators and participants in the new creation work that you've begun in Jesus. God, we ask that you would fill us with that divine spirit. Hover over us as you hovered over the waters. Separate out the darkness from our lives and let the light shine through us. Help us to envision a world that is more the world that you desire and that you have designed for us to live in. And help us to do that work, as painstaking as it may feel sometimes, with the vision of love and justice, compassion and mercy that you've given us. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.